Praise God.
Tonight we're going to move a little further on, and we're going to talk about the God of Jacob. And we're going to learn a lesson from his life of seeing the way the Holy Spirit disciplines our life before him. And what we've learned in the past is the God of Abraham is a God that brings us and originates his desires and his longings in our hearts, and he plants them there, and he begins to mold us and make us into a vessel that he can come and commune with and fellowship with. And then we meet the God of Isaac, who is the God that is the giver, the one that provides for us, the one that gives to us, and all we have to do is receive. But along the path of this going on in our lives, the God of Jacob is going to be at work. Amen? And we're going to start to see how the Holy Ghost, Jacob, the thing that you need to see in Jacob is the fact that when he was born, I'm sure that over in his life, his parents told him, and his mother especially told him, of the promise that God had given that the elder would, that the younger and the elder would serve the younger. And so he knew he was the youngest child, and he knew that the promise was his. And Jacob wanted that to come to pass. He didn't count his birthright as something foolish or small. It was a big thing to him. He embraced the birthright of Jesus Christ. He knew what that meant, and he wanted it for himself. And the thing is that Esau, he kind of cast it aside. It wasn't a big thing to him. But Jacob, it was. And he knew what the promise was. He knew that the promise said that Esau would serve him. He knew that. And so Jacob, in his own strength and his own natural ability, set out to bring this to pass in his life. Rather than waiting on God's timing and waiting on God's hand and waiting on the Spirit of God to put things in order, Jacob went in his own natural abilities and he did it himself. And that's what we're going to start to see in this man's life, is we're going to see the Holy Spirit come and start to discipline the natural abilities and the natural talents and the natural zeal that we have of wanting to run out ahead of the Lord and want to do things in our own power and our own control. Amen. So you're going to start to see the Holy Spirit start to work that in his life. Not only does God hate sin, but God hates natural ability. He hates our natural strength because it is not dependent upon him. Amen? And so you're going to start to see in Jacob's life how the Holy Spirit comes to discipline him. Now, how does the discipline come? Well, most of the time, discipline comes through sorrow. It comes through suffering. It comes through trial. It comes through correction. God begins to correct him. He begins to teach him his ways. He begins to instruct him in the ways of God. He begins to train him to be a man of God that walks in the Spirit and not in his own flesh. And so that's what we're going to start to see about the God of Jacob. We're going to start to see how he allows the Spirit of God to come into our lives to discipline us and allow Jesus Christ to be formed within us. And so you're going to start to see the Spirit begin to work in Jacob's life. Now, already I sense that you want to kind of pull up in the seat. I'm telling you, you're never going to be a man of God, a woman of God, unless you allow this to come into your life and to work and to be used. You're never going to, you're going to be a Christian that God sets aside if you're not able to come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You can't be your own man. You've got to be God's man. You can't have your own voice. You've got to have his voice. You can't walk in your own ways. It's got to be God's way. It's got to be God's timing. And God starts to work that out in Jacob's life. And not only the discipline, but he begins to make room by rooting these things out of our lives. He begins to make room for Christ to be formed within us, for us to take on the character of Christ, and we begin to be like him, and we're molded in his character, and it begins to come forth in our lives. So we see the Holy Spirit begin to discipline the self-life. It begins to discipline the natural abilities, the natural strength, the natural talents that we have. It's been given to us. God will discipline them so that they come under his hand. The zeal that we have, the desires that we have, God will discipline all of that so that it is a praise unto him and not unto ourselves. Do you understand? And so God begins to do that. Jesus himself said, I can do of myself nothing. He said that in John 5:30. He said, I can of myself do nothing. Jesus Christ was not a sinful man, But yet he's saying of his own natural ability, it is nothing. He says, I can't do anything least I am dependent upon what the Father has told me. I'm not going to do anything unless I hear him say, do it. I'm not going to say anything unless I hear him say it. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. He's showing you that the dependency has to be on the Father. Well, we are natural men, and the Holy Spirit has to come and work that in our lives. Jesus himself went on to say a little further in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. That is what the God of Jacob is going to work in our hearts. He's going to bring us to the place in our lives where he brings us to a place of dependency and a place of weakness where by nature we've been strong. By nature, we've been able to think and to plan it and to put it into motion. We've been able to come up with the right ideas. We've been able to put it in motion. We've been able to come up with the right plans. We've been able to do it in our own strength. And God's going to bring all that down to a weakness and to a dependency upon him. Amen? You know what? We do a lot of things with good intentions. You know what? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's what they say. We find ourselves in our own zeal and our own desires, doing things ahead of God, ahead of the Spirit. We find ourselves wanting to run ahead of the Lord. We find ourselves doing things for other people that's not God. Because we want to be acknowledged. Because we want to be recognized. We find ourselves getting ahead of the Lord. We find ourselves being misguided and misled. We find ourselves out of the timing of God. We find ourselves putting forth our own thoughts and our own opinions. And God's saying, is that to satisfy me or is that to satisfy your own ego? And the Lord's saying, I'm going to bring that to a place of dependency upon me. Where you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You know, we find ourselves doing all these good things. Paul said, I lay the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to watch yourself on how you build on that foundation. And we find ourselves, you know, building this great, big, impressive building. And God calls it wood, hay, and stubble. We build our own little kingdom. We stay in our own little spiritual world. We've got our own desires, our own plans, the way we think it ought to be, and when we think it ought to be. We find ourselves coming into the house of God with our own zeal, with our own talents. Oh, we say we've given them to the Lord, but let somebody touch one of them and see that thing rise up in our hearts. God says, you're going to bring them all to my feet. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to go through sorrow. They're going to go through suffering. They're going to go through correction, instruction, and then they're going to be given over to me, and then they'll glorify my name. Amen? He calls it wood, hay, and stubble because it's a work of the flesh. It's a work of self and not of him. It's our natural abilities. And I keep saying it because that's where we live. We live wanting to stay where our strengths are. We want to stay where we have a natural bend of being able to get something accomplished. We want to stay where we feel secure. If we have a talent, we want to magnify it until it's the biggest it can get. And God's saying it all has to come under the knowledge of Christ. It's got to come under the Spirit. It's got to come under the discipline of the Holy Ghost so that it praises him and not ourselves. We've got to make room for Jesus on the inside of us. We've got to be molded into his character, to walk in his Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Ghost and not ourselves. You know, Jesus never sinned, nor did he depend upon himself to do anything. He was totally and completely dependent upon the Father. And that's exactly where God's going to bring us. And he's going to reveal this to you as we begin to move further on. He's going to reveal to you you can't do anything apart from him. When you do, it's not of the Spirit, and it's wood, hay, and stubble. When the fire comes, it'll burn. And so step by step, you're going to start to see the Holy Ghost start to work that in your life. You're going to start to see him bring you to a point of total dependency upon the Holy Ghost. Total dependency upon God. Nothing that we do of ourselves. Not our good intentions. Not our zeal. Not our abilities. Not our strengths. But it's going to be by his voice, by his Spirit, that it gives praise to him. And I, when we talk about, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, that's a picture of Isaac that we've been talking about. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. It was given to me, and now he lives. But catch the last part of the phrase, of the verse. It says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live it in faith, the faith that is in the Son of God. That's Jacob. What am I saying? I'm saying Christ has been given to us, but now we've got to learn to walk in faith, and we've got to let this Christ be formed in us so that we can actually live this life. Amen? And the Holy Spirit has to take time in us, and he has to work this out in us until it's the Spirit of God and on ourselves. Christ has got to be formed in us. He's got to be molded within us by the Holy Spirit. And that's going to come through circumstances and trials and suffering. Through those sufferings and circumstances and situation, Jesus Christ is going to be formed within us. The Word says that this suffering produces a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen? Turn to Hebrews 12. You know, I told the pastor this morning, when the Lord was working things out in my life, there were times that I went through such a state of despair. There were times when I thought, God, I'm never going to get through this. You know, it was like I needed to know I was going to make it. I needed to know that this too will end and this too will pass. I needed to know that there was light at the end of the tunnel. And even this morning, as we talked about the God of Isaac, you know, I try to minister as unto the Lord. I really do. I try to stand up here. I don't try to go by your reactions. I don't try to go by what I sense in the Spirit coming from you. I try to stand here and minister to him because he has so ministered to me. And I try to minister to him. But let me tell you something. When somebody starts to tell you, when the Spirit of God starts to reveal his word to you, and he starts to show you that there's wells of living water that we have covered over. Not wells that we've got to go dig, but wells that are there that's been covered over. And the Lord starts to reveal to you that all you have to do is unclog them. And that life is going to be there to revive you and refresh you. And you kind of just sit there and it's just not there. I'm going to tell you, when I was in my hard time, if you sit there with a long face, because you say, well, I'm just going through trials and I'm going through these pressures in my life. Let me tell you something. I don't think a one of you has been through any more pressure than the next one or the one behind you or the one in front of you or the one standing up here. I don't think any of us have, but let me tell you something. When that Spirit of God started to reveal His Word to me when I was in that time in my life, I'm going to tell you, I started to praise God. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God leaked up on the inside of me and I wanted to reach out and receive the Word of God. It was hope. It was life to me. And we can sit there and shake our head and we can grin. But let me tell you, I know by the Spirit that you're not receiving it that way. You're not reaching out. You're not on the edge of your seat anticipating and sitting up on the watchtower waiting to see what God's going to do for you. You're sitting there down in spirit because you're concerned about what it's going to cost you. I tell you, God's got a people in this last hour that's going to stand flat-footed toe-to-toe to the enemy and to the flesh. They got the Spirit of God burning on the inside of them and they refuse to compromise with the flesh in this last hour. God is going to have a voice. And he's going to have a people that hold forth the word of life in this last hour. And we can walk around all humdrum if we want to, but the life is here. The life and the light of God is in this house. And if you're going through a hard time, God's saying, you need to anticipate what I am doing in your life. When I was going through a hard time, I didn't know if it was God or me. But it's been laid out for you. Do you see? It's been laid out for you. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. Do you see the hand of God in your life? Do you see God revealing himself in his ways and purposes in your life? And we sit there so full, so overflowing, that we can't receive the hope that God tries to give his people. But God will have people that have an ear. God will have a people that will receive it. I mean life, will start to spurt up on the inside of them. There'd be such a joy in their soul that there's hope, that there's life, that there's light in the darkness. We don't have to grope our way through the light. The Word of God is a lamp unto our path. It lights our way. It fills our soul. And we sit here and we talk about, well, Spirit of God is going to work Jesus Christ on the inside of us. He's going to fashion and make Him and mold Him and form Him on the inside of us. And He's going to root out these things that hinder the life flow of Jesus Christ. He's going to root out that hinders the life of God bubbling up in our soul. And we're going to sit there with our faces down because, oh, Sister Beth, it's going to mean suffering. It's going to mean trial. It's going to mean pressure. There's going to be some people that have not forgot where they came from. There's going to be a people in this last hour that's going to remember that they were rank sinners. Not a woe is me in the house of God, but I was a rank sinner. And Jesus redeemed me. He washed me. He bought me. I was laying in a field of blood, covered in iniquity and sin, burdened down. I couldn't get up if I wanted to. And Jesus Christ in His mercy lifted me up and He washed me in His precious blood. He put life in my soul. He put joy in my spirit. And now He's going to form Christ on the inside of me. And He says, if I'll partake of Jesus, if I embrace the instruction, if I'll embrace the training and the teaching and the guidance, Christ is going to stand up alive and well on the inside of me. The Christ is going to stand up in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Is going to rise up on the inside of me. And I'll be able to proclaim life to those that are hungry and thirsty. They want to hear. They want to hear life. They want to hear life. They want light. They're groping in darkness. They can't see. They're saying, give me light. Give me light. Tell me truth. Tell me how to get this man. Tell me how to find a way. And God will have a people to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And they'll say, thank you. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you for life. Thank you for life. They won't be saying, oh, did you know the pressure I was under? Did you know the hard circumstances God put me in? You know what? He does. But you know what they'll be talking about? Oh, did I see Jesus? I saw Him. I saw Him. And you know what it took? It took the pressure for me to see Him. It took the pressure for me to get my eyes off of me so I could see Him. And you thank God every day. God, I thank You that You didn't give up on me. I thank You that You put me in a tight spot so I could see You and behold You. Yes, the suffering's going to come, but it's going to produce a peaceable fruit of righteousness. The tight spot's coming. The pressure's going to come in your life. It's going to press you into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says in Hebrews 12, verse 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor and I didn't have a soul to tell us this way. Pastor and I learned this on our knees. Pastor and I learned this after God took the clay pot and knocked it against the wall, and here we sat in a million little pieces. And we have nowhere to go and no one to turn to but Him. We have to look to Christ. We didn't know what we were doing, where we were going. But God has started to desire in our heart to know Him. To know Him. And He put us in a tight spot. You people have got an A, B, C, and D. You know God's plan. You see it revealed. You're not groping in darkness trying to figure out what's going on in your life. You see what's going on, and still we sit smug. And we sit complacent and indifferent to the things of God. He said, God's holy. I believe it. I believe it. God's holy. And God will have a people whose heart will open itself up and say, God, I was a sinner. Show me Your way. Show me Your way. If it means suffering, if it means discipline, if it means trials, if I'll see it, I'll embrace it. I embrace it. Without murmuring, without complaining, without fussing, without griping, I embrace it that I might see Him. That I might experience the fellowship of His sufferings and come to know Him. Amen? Hebrews 12:5 says this, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Hallelujah. If you don't know anything else tonight, you know you're His son. If you sense the tight spot and the pressure in your life, you're His son. That ought to make us want to just shout. Look back 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10. You're a son. And because you're His son, He chastens you because He wants Christ formed in you. He wants you to partake of Christ. He wants you to partake of His life. He wants you to be able to taste Him. He wants you to be able to embrace Him. He doesn't want you to hear me talk about it. He wants you to be able to go on your prayer closet when your knees hit that floor beside your bed, that you sense God reach out and put His big arms around you, and you sense yourself on a worship and adore. God wants you to partake of that. God says you can. God says you can partake of that because you're a son. And because you're a son, God's put you in a tight spot. And He's testing you and He's disciplining you that you might partake of Christ. And Christ might be formed within you. If you endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, therefore all are partakers, and ye are bastards, and ye not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. You better know you did. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us and after their own pleasure. But He chasteneth us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. When God starts to discipline you, what are you going to partake of? You're going to partake of Christ's holiness. Do you know that 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus Christ is our sanctification? That means that Jesus is our holiness. That's saying that if you will endure the chastisement of the Father, that you're going to partake of Jesus. And as you partake of Jesus, He's going to make you holy. You're going to start to see Christ form within you. All these heavy weights, all these besetting sins will be able to push off of you because you're partaking of Christ. And Christ is making you holy. Christ is being formed on the inside of you. And He's making you holy. Jesus is being worked on the inside of me. He's being fashioned and molded and made. And I'm partaking of Him. And I'm learning Him. And I'm learning His voice. And I'm sensing His touch. And I know who He is now. And He's being fashioned and it's starting to yield a peaceable fruit in my life. I'm starting to see righteousness and holiness. I'm starting to see myself being under the Spirit's guidance and not my own. I'm seeing myself hush my mouth when I used to speak. I'm starting to see Christ being formed on the inside of me where I just want to please Him and no other. I'm starting to see the fruit of Christ being formed on the inside of me. And so He begins to bring us into this chastisement so that Christ can be formed within us. He is our holiness and we partake of that. He starts to do it through the trials, through the sufferings, through the circumstances of life. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. If He said that if we moved under the unction of the flesh, He said if we started to build on the foundation Christ Jesus, and we're not careful what we build, and we build our own natural abilities and our own natural strengths and our own talents, and we work and move under the zeal and under having worked it up until we sensed Him, He said that's wood, hay, and stubble. And He said it'll burn. But let's see what He wants us to have in our lives. If it's not wood, hay, and stubble, what is it? 1 Corinthians 3:12 says this. Let's start with verse 11. Let's start with verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now you don't have to be a wise man to know that wood, hay, and stubble will burn. But you also don't have to be very wise to know that when the fire hits the gold, it refines it. And it refines the silver, and it brings forth precious stones. The Lord, in Revelations over and over, I'm going to read it to you to keep you from having to turn there. In Revelations 21:19-21, it says, foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. It says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Streets of the city were pure gold as if it was transparent as glass. God's purpose for us is not just to have Christ form within us. It's not just to crucify and weaken the natural abilities, but the Lord is most gracious to us. He said there's a foundation that's been laid, and the foundation is Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to build on that foundation. And He wants us to be careful how we build. But He's saying if we allow the heat to come into our lives, if we allow the pressure and the tribulations and the sufferings to come in our lives and to roll in that, what He desires for it to do, He says that we can lay upon that foundation and we can start to build this house, and Christ will start to be formed within us. And as we build this house, these living stones start to build the temple of God. He says as you start to lay on these foundations, it can be gold and silver and precious stones. God is working Jesus on the inside of us. He's molding and fashioning Him. He's teaching us how to work in the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, how to be controlled by the Spirit. But it's twofold. As we begin to have Christ form on the inside of us and we learn to walk in the Spirit at the same time, we are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And He says, watch how you build. It's precious stones. That's what the walls of the new heaven are made of. It's precious stones. Do you know that over and over you find, if you read behind any commentary at all, you'll find that gold represents deity, it represents God. That's why in the city of the New Jerusalem, the streets themselves look like gold, because God is there. Do you know that the silver represents and is significant of redemption? He said you can build on this foundation, God. And then comes the redemption of man. And then come the precious stones. You know what the precious stones are? The precious stones is the work that God does as the Holy Spirit begins to form Jesus on the inside of us. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, is to make us into precious stones. Not only is Jesus being formed within us, we're learning to walk in the Spirit, but we're being made into precious stones that'll glorify Him in this last hour. Yes, there'll be gold. Do you know in the new city, it says that there's gold and there's precious stones, but nowhere in Revelations where you read about silver. Because the silver has become precious stones. The redemption of man that we have received, He doesn't just leave it with redemption. He molds it and makes us into precious stones that glorify Him. I'm excited about that. I see his mercy. I see his grace. It is awesome to me to see the hand of God at work in man. It's awesome to me to see how everything so fits in such order. It's awesome to me to see that not only is he forming Christ in me, because it's what my heart wants. Not only is he teaching me to walk under the direction of the Holy Ghost, which is what our heart wants. We want to be guided and directed and under the unction of the Spirit. But at the same time, he's molding this redemption that I've received. And he's making it not just the redemption that saved me, but he's going to make that redemption go back and glorify him in a precious stone. I had something to offer him. My life is going to glorify him. I'm going to bring a precious stone in the hand of God. Do you know that stones, precious gems, are not elements but compounds? Do you know how they're formed? They're formed by intense heat and pressure. And God is going to allow that redemption that you've so freely received. He's going to make the intense heat come into your life. And he's going to put a pressure into your life. And when you start to sense that, you ought to want to lift both your hands and say, my gosh, you're molding and making me into a precious gem. The intense heat and the pressure and the opposition that I sense in my life, the enemy coming at me, is the hand of God allowing the enemy to be used by the hand of God to make me into a precious gem that'll glorify my Savior. The intense heat that I sense, the opposition, the difficulty, the pressure is molding and making me into a gem that glorifies Him. Intense heat. I've sensed it in my life from time to time. An intensity. Pressure. But God's saying, I mold you. And I'm making you in that that glorifies my name. Nowhere in the New Jerusalem is silver mentioned. The silver has become precious stones. God wants vessels that'll carry forth His plan, His purposes. Those vessels yield to the intense heat, to the pressure Christ has formed in them. And as a result, we begin to be made into precious stones that glorify Him in this last day. Turn to Malachi 3. These people in this particular chapter of Malachi are going through persecution. They're being ridiculed. They're being mocked because they're taking a stand for God. An intense pressure has come into their life. The heat is on them. They're being persecuted because they love the Lord, because they take a stand for His righteousness in that day. In verse 17, it says this. If you'd like to, you can go home and read the whole chapter 3. They're in the midst of being mocked because they take a stand for Christ, because they say that those around them are saying it's vanity to serve God. You're never prosperous if you serve Him. The wicked are always more prosperous than God's people. And these people stand up in the midst of that and say, God is truth. They stand for righteousness and they're being persecuted for that. And God sees it. And he hears it. And he says, I'll write their names in a book of remembrance. And listen what he says in verse 17. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as the man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. The word saying that God's saying in that day, I heard every word that was said. I saw everyone that took a stand. I saw everyone that submitted to the heat, to the persecution. That day when I make up my jewels, they'll be my jewels. You know what the word make up means? It means that in the day that He creates them. I'm not a jewel. Within myself, I'm nothing. But the Lord's saying that He's going to make me up one. He's creating in me through the intense pressure in my life through the opposition of the enemy in the flesh. He is molding and making me into a jewel. He is building and constructing me into a jewel. He's preparing me and establishing me to be a jewel. You know what else it says? It means that He is making it happen. I'm not making it happen. I'm submitting to the chastisement of the Lord. I'm allowing the hand of God to come into my life and mold me and make me. And as I do that, God's making it happen that I am a jewel being formed in the midst of empty teeth, in the midst of pressure in my life. God is making this thing come forth as a jewel that it'll glorify Him. Do you know what a jewel is? It's a private possession. Oh yeah. He says, I'll make you up. I'll create you into a jewel and you'll be mine. Mine. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. In the midst of the persecution, the opposition, the misunderstanding, the heat, He's creating and molding and making me, making it happen. He is. He's making me His jewel, His private possession. And then you wonder why, when I step into the presence of God, that it's not sweet to my soul. There is a sweetness of communion that comes with them and been set apart as His own. Set apart. When I call His name, He comes. When He calls my name, I come. I'm His. His private possession that He's molding, He's making, He's creating. Why? Because I submit to the chastening of the Lord. Because I want to protect Christ. And as a result of protecting the Christ, He says, I set you apart as my own. I set you apart as a private possession which one has personally acquired, and He carefully preserves it and takes care of it. He sustains it in the midst of the heat. He upholds it. I don't keep myself in trial. God keeps me. He upholds me. He guards me. He protects me. Why? Because I'm His. The heart desires Him. It's coming under the hand of God. It's coming under that rod of chastisement. It's allowing the chastisement and the discipline to train the heart to follow hard after Him. And as a result, God sets you apart as His own, as His private possession, as one that He brought out from bondage, redeemed you, and He shapes and makes you into that that He wants you to be. He sets you apart. He establishes you. And He starts to bring forth Christ in your life and you become His. He says, I know those that stand up in this last hour. I know those who don't put on the face, who don't say they're going through hard times. But I know those who submit under my hand, who accept the chastening of the Lord to allow Christ to be formed in them. And I set them apart. Honey, I can tell you everyone that has a life of Christ in them. I know everyone that's been set aside. And when they go into the presence of God, there's life. When you start to talk about Him, it stirs the life of Christ on the inside of me. You don't have to put on some smile. I know it by the Spirit. I know when it's sweet to your soul. I know when that communion touches heaven. I know if you've been set apart by the Spirit of God as His private possession, it starts a fire. It starts a burning on the inside of you when you start to talk about Him. Because you're His. You're His. And you've been set apart. You're His jewel. His private possession that He creates, that He molds, that He fashions, that He sets apart. We don't set ourselves apart. He sets us apart as we partake of Him. And He molds us and fashions us into jewels that are His private possession. He keeps us in the safety deposit box, safe and guarded. away from all evil and all wickedness of this last hour. He keeps us set aside, untouched, undefiled, pure and holy unto Him, that our praises might go up as a sweet smelling savor unto the Master. He sets us apart. We're His own. And He brings us out to commune with Him. He brings us off that wall to go into fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 135. We're talking about the God of Jacob. How He puts us under the discipline of the Holy Ghost to take away our natural abilities and our natural strengths so that we're totally dependent upon Him. And we find our strength in Him. Our heart yearns for Him. We can do nothing of ourselves and don't choose to, don't desire to. We want Him. In verse 4 it says, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself." Hallelujah. "For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto Himself." What's Jacob? Deceiver. Supplanter. Schemer. God said, "I chose him for me." Hallelujah. God chose him for Him and set him apart. Him? God hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Prince of God. Do you know what the word "hath chosen" means? I, God, chose Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, full of guile, full of self, full of himself. I chose him. I have chosen him. Hath chosen means I have chosen him because I'm going to prove him. And I'm going to try him. And it's going under my hand. And the Holy Ghost is going to discipline him. And he's going to be set apart for me. I have chosen him. Do you know what it said in the original? It says, "I chose him in the mess he was in the state he was in, because I had eternal purpose for his life. I chose him knowing that there would be eternal consequences and purposes for this man's life. But I chose him and I set him apart because I knew that the Holy Ghost could prove him and bring him under the discipline of the Holy Ghost. And I knew that he would submit and yield himself until I could call him Israel, a peculiar treasure, a jewel in the Master's hand, a jewel. He was a deceiver. He was selfish. Full of himself, all about self, knew when to put it on, knew how to do it his way, and knew how to manipulate, and knew how to control. He was a liar at best. God said, "I chose him for myself, because I'm going to put him in the chastening of God, and I'm going to make him a jewel, a peculiar treasure." That is the very same word as jewel in Malachi. He's saying, "I have chosen this man because he's going to be my private possession. A man after my own heart." That's the God of Jacob. He said, "I'm discouraged, sister's bad. I have all these things in my life." Jacob was chosen and set apart for God. God had a heart for him. God set him apart from wrestling with God himself. And God says, I change your name from Jacob to Israel, Prince with God. And you're my peculiar treasure, a jewel. Fear not. God said, with the intense heat and pressure and you coming under the chastening of God, Christ will be formed on the inside of you and God will set you apart as a precious jewel. You'll be His private possession. God had His mind set on this man. I want him. God chose him. You didn't choose God. The Word says you didn't choose God. The Word says you didn't choose God. God chose you. God chose Jacob. Whew! You didn't choose God. God chose you. Knowing Jacob was alive and well. But God said, if he'll come under my hand, I'll make him a jewel. Israel, Prince of God. A peculiar treasure. Private possession set apart for God. Turn to Isaiah 62. The Holy Ghost has got to make it real to you. The Holy Spirit's got to breathe the life into it, that it's real to you. Jacob. But God hath chosen Jacob. I chose him knowing. I chose Jacob knowing I was going to have to try him. I chose Jacob knowing who he was. I chose Jacob knowing he was going to have to go through the chastisement and the discipline of the Holy Ghost. But God knows the beginning from the end. God knows that that's committed into His hand. He knows the result. God knew that when Jacob came under His hand of discipline, that he was going to come out Israel, a peculiar treasure. He chose him faults and all. But God had a plan for his life. He was going to make him a jewel. Amen? Isaiah 62 says this. I don't know that I've ever read a whole chapter in a service, but I'm going to tell you, when I started looking at this, I said, so Lord, just want to encourage His people. Listen to what He says. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name. Jacob got a new name. Jacob got a new name. He got a name called Israel, Prince with God. He said, I'm not going to hold my peace until you get a new name. Until the righteousness of Christ comes forth in your life. Until every heathen around you sees the brightness of the life of Christ. I'll not hold my peace. Until the righteousness goes forth in the bright light of the gospel. Until you get a new name. Saints, that is the prophet of God speaking. He's speaking what thus saith the Lord God. God Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. El Shaddai. The all-sufficient one. The one that provides. He said, I'll not hold my peace and I'll not rest until you get a new name. A new name! A new
be heathen, drug addict, selfish, full of lust, full of pride. God gives you a new name. Prayer warrior, man of God, preacher of the gospel, witnesser, truth giver, life giver. A new name. He says, when I get to heaven, I'll have a new name written on a white rock that nobody knows about but me and him. He says, I'll not hold my peace. Thank God, thank God, thank God. He won't hold his peace. And God don't sit down to rest because Jacob comes up on the scene. He says, I'll not rest until you get a new name. Oh, I could shout. In the midst of my mess, I was so full of me. I had to be in control. I wanted to be in control. Full of fear, doubt, unbelief, scared, afraid, fearful. God said, I won't hold my peace and I'll not rest. Until you get a new name. Until Christ be formed on the inside of you. Until every Gentile and every heathen round about you sees the life of Christ on the inside of you. Woo! Hallelujah! You need to calm down. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to proclaim His glory. I'm going to show forth what God can wrought. I'm going to show forth what God can do. He says, I'll give until thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. He's going to give me a new name. A new name. Hallelujah. What's it going to be? The Lord will give it to you. The Lord will tell you what you're going to do. The Lord will tell you what your life's going to do. The Lord will give you a new name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in His hand. And in the hand of the Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Diadems have jewels on them. Crowns are full of jewels. God says, I'm going to put the jewels in the crown and I'm going to hold it in my right hand of power and you're going to be a royal diadem of strength to the nation. I'm going to put you in my hand and you're going to be full of strength and wisdom and power. Thou shalt no more be turned. That's what I was, termed, labeled by the world, labeled by the church, labeled. He said, thou shalt no more be labeled forsaken. Neither shalt thou anymore be labeled desolate. Boy, I was desolate. I didn't have nothing. Full of myself. I looked like I was forsaken because God was resisting the proud. But He said, I'm not going to rest until I give you a new name. He said, I'm not going to rest until I shall call thee Hitzabah. My delight is in her. My delight. Is in her. I used to be labeled forsaken, desolate, prideful, fearful, doubtful, full of unbelief. And God says, I'll not stop until I say my delight is in her. Cause her heart is toward me. Not a Jacob anymore, but a prince of God. My delight is in her. Is she free? Is she perfect? No, but the heart follows hard. After Him and His delight is in that heart that has come under the testament of God and Christ is being formed. And can have been made into jewels. The heat comes. It's hot. We want to run. But God's saying, child, that's the heat forming you into a jewel, a royal jewel, a precious stone to fill up the crown that I hold in my hand. Whoo, hallelujah. And thy land will be called Beulah, wife of God, married to him. I'm married to him. I love him. I love him. I was forsaken, desolate, in the muck and the mire self, every well covered with self, rolling in the muck and the mire, in clay, knee deep in clay, not rivers of life, clay, wet, miry clay, unable to advance. And God said, I'll give you a new name because I'm not going to rest until the Spirit of God comes up in you and you start to undig those walls and the life of God refreshes you and revives you, and I'll find my delight in you and I'll marry you. I'll be your husband. Hallelujah. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy son, when a sinner saved. God says in his word that I was desolate, I was forsaken, and God says I didn't rest until I called you by a new name, and I rejoice over thee. I rejoice over thee with singing. I rejoice over you. Oh, God rejoices over me. I know what I was. I know where I've been. And God rejoices over me. He told me on that wall, he said, I missed your fellowship. I missed those times with you. I miss that communion and that fellowship with you. And when he draws us back in that fellowship, his heart rejoices over us because he finds his delight in us. In our good works. In us. In a heart that hungers for him, that desires him, that wants to be with him above all things. He wants to be with him. He said, thy God, speaking by the prophet of God, and thus saith the Lord, I rejoice over thee. Hallelujah. That ought to be enough to put a joy in your soul for the next 100 years. My God rejoices over me. He's not slack concerning the promise that he made that he would not rest until I got a new name. He said, I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day and night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. You are blessed people. There are watchmen in this house watching over your soul, keeping you in the straight and narrow until God gives you a new name. And he shall give him no rest till he establishes you. He said to make up his jewels meant that he would establish you. He said the watchmen are going to give him no rest until he establishes you and makes you a praise in this earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, glory to God, and the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to be meat for your enemies, and no more shall the sons of heathens and strangers and foreigners drink your wine for which you've labored so hard for. You're going to be able to eat the corn and the bread and the wine of the Spirit. God said he's not going to give it to the enemy to be pushed aside, to be eaten by the enemy of your flesh, by the foreigners. Those things are foreigners. The works of the flesh are foreigners. In the New Jerusalem, they're foreigners in Israel. They're foreigners. God said, I won't give your bread and your corn and your wine to any more foreigners. you get just enough, you run home, and it's all gone before night falls. Because the foreigners crawled up on your wall and ate it and drunk it all. God said, no more. No more. My delight is in you. You won't see your mind, the righteous begging bread. I've never seen them forsaken and the seed out begging bread. He said, you're not any longer forsaken, and you're going to eat your own corn, and you're going to drink your own wine for which you've sought me for. The foreigners are going to have to go out and work for their own. But they that have gathered it shall eat it. And when they eat it, what they're going to do? They're going to eat it in praise. Eat it in praise. Eat it in praise. I'm coming to church, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to praise. I'm going to eat it, I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to praise. That ain't what you do. You eat, you lose it, and you see it. You eat, you get fat, you lose it, and you see it. We're going to eat it, and we're going to praise Him. We're going to come back, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to praise Him. We're going to eat it because we're getting established now. We're getting the strength of God rising up on the inside of us. Christ is beginning to stand up full stature in His people. And we come to church. We sit down at the Master's table. He gives us manna from heaven, corn from heaven. He gives us corn and He gives us wine. And we sit down at His table and we eat and we praise Him. We eat and we praise Him. We eat and we tell of His goodness. We proclaim His glory. We praise Him. We glorify Him. We exalt Him. We lift Him high that He draws all men to Himself. We eat and we praise. We eat and we praise. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Ooh, why? Because He said that if you come under the chastening of the Lord, you're going to be partakers of what? Holiness. And as we partake of Him, we sit down in holiness. And we eat and we praise the Lord. Because we're partaking of Him now. No longer me. No longer I. But Christ and the holiness of God. And we eat and we praise Him. We're not foolish and flippant and immature and looking to praise as a man. We've got a new name now. We've seen Him. We know He's real. We know it's true what He said about the discipline of God. We know that if we accept it, the intense heat comes, but we sin. And we see ourselves being formed and fashioned into jewels in the Master's hand. And we see ourselves taking on a new nature and a new character. And we're being formed in the image of Christ. And we're sitting down and we're eating and drinking and praising God in holiness. Not religion. Holiness. Hallelujah. Holiness. Uprightness with God. A reverential fear. Maturity. Amen? Get this next verse. Go through the gates. Can you hear Him? I was reading, it's almost like I can hear Him. He's saying, Go through the gates. Hear the Spirit. Go through the gates. Don't sit down now. Get up. Go through the gates. Push open the gates. Push open the gates. Go through the gates. Push them open. This is symbolic of the Jews coming out of Babylon. He's saying to you, you're getting a new name now. Go through them gates. Rise up. Come to a higher place. Push open the gates. Come out of Babylon and push open the gates. Go through people. Go through children. Push through the gates and come into a deeper place. A higher realm. Go through the gates and prepare you the way. You're coming out of Babylon now. Confusion. You say, wait a minute now. Confusion? That's what Babylon means. Confusion. Well, I don't know that I'm being confused. Well, let me give you a definition. Without order. Without divine order. Mixed up. No clearness. Mingled. He's saying, I've given you a new name now. Hear the Spirit calling you. I hear Him calling me. Hear the Spirit speak. Oh, you're just getting fanatical. You're just getting, I'm telling you, God's got a people that's going to hear what the Spirit says. And just as sure as He says, go through their gates, God, they're going to make a beeline right through the gates of Babylon, and they're coming out in the life of Christ. They're going to come out standing up in the full stature of Jesus Christ, walking in the holiness and the reverential fear of God. No more confusion. No more disorder. There's going to be divine order in their life. Every T is going to be crossed and every I is going to be dotted. They're coming out walking. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. I am free, thank God. I am free. I was desolate. I was forsaken, but God's given me a new name. He has chosen me in the midst of myself. And He has set me apart as a peculiar treasure. Thank God, thank God. He's let me eat and praise the Lord. He's let me eat and praise the Lord. And the Spirit's saying, go through. Go through the gates. Come out of confusion. Come out of foolishness. The works of the flesh. The natural strength, the ability, come through. Oh, if I could shout it loud enough to get you to get it, I'd shout. Go through. Go through the gates. And prepare the way. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up. Cast up the highway and gather out every stone. And lift up a standard for the people of God. Oh, hallelujah. A voice in this last hour that knows Him. A people that know the voice of God. A people that know what they were and they know what they are. A people that know who they are in Christ. Oh, Sister Beth, you're getting arrogant now. God's got a people that know who they are in Christ. They know the authority that has been put in their hands, and they know what's under their feet. And they're coming up out of them gates of Babylon, out of the confusion, out of the mingling with the world, out of the mingling with the natural affections, with the natural strength and the natural ability, and they're casting out every stone, and they're preparing the way of the Lord. They're lifting up a standard of what? Holiness! And preparing the way for God's people in this last hour. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed it. The Lord, you say, what are you saying? Because God said it. Oh, you gonna get all worked up over what? Over some Isaiah 62. But it says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed it unto the end of the world. The word says the promises of God are yea and amen. God said, I proclaim it. I said it. And I meant it and I declare it unto my people. Whosoever will shall come. Whosoever will can receive it. push open the gates, throw out the stones, and lift up a standard of holiness that the people of God can run under and find the standard and the preserving of life. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Glory to God. And his work before him. Do you know what that word salvation means? It means your deliverance. I can go out and proclaim the deliverance of God is at hand. The freedom of God is within our reach. Hallelujah. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. And the Lord comes quickly and suddenly to the temple. You didn't get it. You go tell the daughter of Zion that deliverance cometh. Malachi says the Lord cometh to the temple suddenly. You tell the daughter of Zion, salvation, deliverance, freedom, liberty, cometh. God comes here suddenly to the temple. I'm proclaiming to you that your salvation and your deliverance cometh. And when God fills this temple suddenly, your deliverance comes. And it comes with reward in his hand. What's the reward, Sister Pam? Thy God is thy exceedingly great reward. Oh, I'm going to have him. I'm going to have him. I don't want no big ministry. Don't want no big name. I want him. I want him. My heart yearns for him in the courts of the Lord, the bride chamber of the Master. The heart yearns for him to fill us and satisfy us with the corn and the wine, and we can praise him and eat and praise him and eat and praise him. Amen? And they shall call them the holy people, because we've become partakers of holiness, because Christ is being formed within us when we go into the chastening of the Lord. And the intense heat forms us and makes us into jewels. And we become, and we are called holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Oh, hallelujah. Sought out. Not forsaken. Sought out by who? Sought out by him. Ooh, I'm seeking him, and he's seeking me. And the heathen know where to run. They'll seek you out too. They'll seek you out because there's truth, and there's righteousness, and there's holiness, and there's corn, and there's wine to be had when they seek you out. Amen? Sought out by God and by the heathen world that needs to be fed. A city not forsaken. A holy people set apart for him. Because God has chosen Jacob. Because there is an eternal plan for Jacob's life. And he'll be called Israel, a peculiar treasure, a jewel in the Master's hand. Amen. Hallelujah.